powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Happy Wednesday. We got a short show for you guys. Jake Heaps is here. I'm Stacy Ross. DJ Wilder on the board. The Mariners coming your way in just over an hour for some day baseball. Have a chance to sweep a road series against the Oakland A's. First pitch at 12:37, and we are taking you right into the pregame show at 11:30. So it's so easy for you guys. You just don't have to move. That's the trick, right? You just sit where you are, you keep your radio on, and you go right into the pregame show. We are passing you right off.
That's right. It's easy. Easy money.
Easy money. Easy money. And congratulations, if you're listening to the podcast, you already know the future, so no spoilers. Now, let's talk quickly about last night's game. It was really awesome to continue to see a good night from guys like Kelnick, from Lewis, from Crawford, and obviously Logan Gilbert's best performance. But I'm going to cycle back, Jake. I'm going to look at one of those first three guys. J.P. Crawford. A phenomenal night, 3-for-4 with a run and an RBI, but this is important because it continues this stretch of good games that he's had. The last 2 weeks, he's leading your team in average, and I know that that doesn't sound uniquely impressive, but it's actually pretty solid. He's batting, or hitting 261. He's tied with hits for 11 with Haniger. 5 strikeouts is the fewest for a minimum 40 at-bats. He's second only to Haniger in OPS, so he's been kind of like your MVP for the last 2 weeks and is one of your best hitters on the team for the season right now. It's awesome, right? It's great. You love to see it. J.P. Crawford, I think a fan favorite. I always see awesome encouragement for him on the text line whenever we talk about him. Here's the thing, though, Jake. Mariners in a bit of a conundrum. They're in a bit of a conundrum because there's a great batch of shortstops and free agency next year. J.P. Crawford is making this a tough decision for the Mariners.
Yeah, he certainly is. And when you thought that, hey, this is going to be an obvious decision in terms of them looking to move on and them looking to potentially upgrade at a very strong shortstop market that is out there with guys like Corey Seager, Trevor Story, Carlos Correa, Javier Baez. I mean, you go down the list. I mean, there's a lot of exciting players. But J.P. Crawford, this year, at least, you look at what he's done, he's on par with a lot of these guys. Now, they don't hit with the same kind of – he doesn't hit with the same kind of power, not even close to that, in terms of being able to drive in RBIs and home runs. He has not shown that. But you don't necessarily need your shortstop to do it if you're able to find guys around – In the middle infield outside of the shortstop position, if you're going to do that, if Evan White turns into that player. But I think that ultimately, Stacy, what ends up happening here with J.P. Crawford is going to be really important through the year. I mean, he's one of the original guys that you talk about, Jerry Dipoto bringing them in. We kind of forget about it, but he was a part of that initial first wave of players that first got up to the big league club that we've been evaluating and trying to track. Not only how his defense is, and he has proven that he can be a gold glover, but how he's going to be with his bat. And, you know, one of the other things that we have overlooked a little bit, and Scott Servais said this yesterday here in cut number one, that JP does have a voice in this clubhouse.
Another guy that doesn't get enough credit is JP Crawford. The work ethic, how he goes about it, the competitiveness, he just shows up every day. He sees the game the right way. Now, he's not the vocal leader yet that I think he can grow into. But we certainly have guys that don't have a ton of experience that you're looking out in the future. Can they lead? Can they be a big part of what we're doing going forward on the field, but also in the clubhouse? And those two guys stick out for me. I love where they're at. They need to continue to get better, which they will, because they're really smart. They work hard. They're good athletes. But they also have the chance to lead our group.
So, Stacy, the question is, if J.P. Crawford continues to play with consistency and he continues to hit the bat hit the ball with his bat, and he is playing great defense and is a solid shortstop for you right now, I mean, he's 26 years old. Every season, statistically, he will have gotten better. What do you do?
Right. And I should stress that I want to make it clear. The decision is difficult for the Mariners. Underline the last two words I said there. Decision is difficult for the Mariners, potentially. The Mariners are a team, as we know. They like to spend wisely. They, I think, prided themselves in saving money, at least according to Kevin Mather, prided themselves in losing less money than their counterparts in MLB, right? So I think that when you have a shortstop that's starting to really improve, the question of whether JP or whether the, you know, Corey Seager or Carlos Correa, Javi Baez, Trevor Story, the question of whether those guys are better shortstops isn't the tough part. No offense to JP Crawford. The resumes of those other guys just outweigh his, right? It's just the truth of it. I'm not saying JP hasn't been phenomenal for Seattle this year or that he can't be better. I'm just saying the resume right now isn't the difficult part. That's not the difficult decision. The difficult decision is if JP starts, you know, really heating up and continuing to be a solid part of this lineup, do the Mariners think, well, wait a minute, we don't have to be in on a bidding war with these shortstops. We don't have to spend a ton of money potentially facing an upcoming, you know, labor dispute or potentially facing one more year where we're not contending. We can save money. Maybe we spend it on a second baseman instead or a starting pitcher instead. And I think what a lot of fans would say is, why not all of that? But the question would still remain about, well, where does JP go? What do you do with JP?
100%. And that's the other part that you have to take into account with all these other guys. I mean, Baez, it's not like any of these guys are over the hill. That's why it makes them so exciting. Is Baez is he's going to be 28, going to turn 29. You've got Trevor Story, who's 26, just like JP Crawford is. Carlos Correa, who's 26. You've got Trevor Story, 28 years old, and Corey Seager, who's 27, going to be 28. So JP Crawford is on the younger side of this equation, and that's why it becomes intriguing. That's why it becomes a difficult decision. And as we said before, if he isn't going to hit for power, then he needs to show that he can have a great batting average and he can have a great on-base percentage. And I think that that has got to be the goal for J.P. Crawford as he heads into the season and finishes this thing out. He's got to continue to keep putting pressure on the Mariners. Now, the other thing that you have to take into account for is, what if they did both, Stacey?
Like is bought there, a shortstop, it, one of those shortstops.
Bought a shortstop and kept J.P. Crawford as your second baseman. I mean, that's not out of the realm of possibilities here. I know that J.P. more profiles as a shortstop than anything else, but You've seen people make those changes before, and everybody's going to then point to, if you're deep dived into this farm system, well, what about Marte, who is profiled as a shortstop as well? Well, you see that flexibility happen all the time, moving a prospect like that to second base or possibly third base isn't out of the realm of possibility. So I think that what you're seeing from J.P. Crawford is nothing but positive for the Mariners. He's a guy that's been in this clubhouse. He's been a part of this culture. And if he can come up with this group, I think it's very exciting. But make no mistake, if they have the opportunity to upgrade at shortstop with Corey Seager, Trevor Story, Carlos Correa, Baez, I think that they would be crazy not to go and try and do that.
They would be crazy, but they felt like it was crazy not to add a second baseman this offseason. You know? It's not like something we haven't seen before. And again, I say this rooting for JP's success. One of the easiest guys to root for, and it's also genuinely great to see him succeed in this lineup. Like, he right now, he's not just leading your team in average. That group of shortstops I've talked about, and granted, this is average, which is like not the best metric to be measuring success, but that group of shortstops I talked about, Seager, Baez, all these guys, Correa, they're basically like 1, 2, 3, 4, and then Crawford in average. And I would like to say they aren't actually 1, 2, 3, 4. They're all hovered around between like 10 and 15, but they're all right next to each other. So on paper, this season, Crawford's still, you know, top 10, top 15 shortstop in quite a few categories.
Yeah, it does. And that's my point is that if you're just looking at the numbers this year and you're looking at JP Crawford and the way that he's continued to develop, I mean, there's something there, right? There's definitely something there that you can point to and say, look, he's young, he's growing, he's developing, it's going in the right direction. The other thing is it's tantalizing with the other guys. Like these guys, you know, all the other top, you know, free agent prospects that we had just mentioned out there at shortstop, they hit with power. They get RBIs. I mean, they're superstar type of talents. I don't think JP Crawford is quite at that level, but again, you don't necessarily need it to be. You don't need it to be that way. If he's getting on base and he's playing great defense, he's hitting the ball in play, you don't necessarily need him to play with power. You can find that a different position or spend elsewhere or simply move him to second base. But I think that a lot of people came into this year expecting and thinking that J.P. Crawford might not be a part of this rebuilding process. And I think that he's at this stage of the season, if he maintains this, I think he's going to make everybody think twice about that.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely will. But again, I look back to what the organization is going to do. Is the organization, if J.P. Crawford finishes, let's say, in the top, you know, group of shortstops in just like a typical slash line, say that he's just hitting well and obviously playing phenomenal defense, do they consider keeping him at shortstop and spending a little less money on a second baseman?
I mean,
rather than one of these high-priced shortstops, because they're not only are they going to have to spend top dollar for these guys. I mean, you had Francisco Lindor, who signed a $341 million deal most recently. That's fantastic for the shortstop market. And you can look at that market and you can say, well, there's an influx of talent, specifically premier talent, meaning they're all going to be competing and maybe that affects bidding and bidding actually goes down. Then you've got an upcoming potential lockout. So maybe those guys actually stay with their team. So there's a chance that these guys don't even hit the market. And there's also a chance that they don't make as much money as they're hoping. That said, there is no better leverage for a premier player than hitting free agency. And if I was a player, I would want to test free agency and I would want to see how much money I could get.
No doubt.
Would the Mariners be willing to spend? I mean, you look at Javi Baez last offseason reportedly turned down $180 million. Would the Mariners spend more than a deal like that? What if he's looking for like, or what if any of these guys are looking to touch that, you know, Francisco Lindor deal?
I think there's a couple of them that will be looking to touch that. I think Corey Seager has a potential to get into that place. I think Trevor Story has the ability to maybe get that kind of money or get close to it. And yeah, you're going to have to fork over a pretty sizable contract for that. But that's eventually what you're going to have to do, Stacey. Eventually, you're going to have to spend at some point. But where is that value going to be? Where are you valuing where that next step needs to go? Is it with your starting pitching? Is it in your middle infield? And the other thing that you bring up, that's a good point, is that you could go the other route and not go cheap, but say, we don't need to make this 10-year-long investment. We're going to go find a really good quality major league at bat or major league bat, major league fielder that can play every day. We know what we're going to get out of them. And they fit into the mold, at least for the next couple years, while we continue to keep adding talent and we continue to keep adding these young players, and eventually we'll go and spend big. Or one of these guys are going to turn into that next superstar while you're having these good, you know, quality stopgap players that we talked about we've talked about incessantly at the beginning of the season this year. That to me is another route that they could go when it comes to the middle infield. But overall, I think J.P. Crawford is really showing and displaying that he belongs and he has a place here in Seattle.
I will say it's been so nice to see there be some kind of trend breaking for this lineup. For a while, when almost the entire lineup was down, you were thinking, what's the issue? Like, it's one thing if two, three guys are in a slump. When everyone's in a slump at the same time, that's tough. It's really tough. And you know they're going to break out of it. Like, you know that you can't maintain hitting 198 for a season. Like, this is not going to happen. But how much better than that can they get?
Hopefully not.
can a couple of them be better than that rather than just like one or two carrying the load? So it's been nice to see Haniger continue to help out. It's been really nice to see J.P. Crawford kind of take off. I think I'd like to see one or two more guys, which is why, and I'm glad you brought it up, you know, at when we were talking about this before the show, Jake, it's why it's been nice to see, okay, you're starting to see Kyle Lewis really take off here. You're starting to see Kelnick kind of getting into the swing of things.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And look at last night. You saw Kyle Lewis make an unbelievable defensive play out there at center field. You saw Mitch Haniger save the day, you know, tracking down that ball, heading to the wall, heading to the track, making that play. I mean, it was absolutely spectacular, absolutely money. But I do want to play this cut that we've played before. I want to go to cut number three, Joel Sherman, saying at some point the Mariners have to go for it.
At some point, you have to throw down the tent pole and say, we're not rebuilding anymore. The Seattle Mariners, as you know intimately, they haven't made the playoffs for two decades. Like, at some point, you have to say, and I think they have a bottom five payroll this year. The Detroit Tigers have a bottom five payroll this year in a division where it's kind of like the White Sox and who else a little bit. No. Like at some point, you know, this endless rebuild has to stop and you have to say we're going to turn it around. And that's a heck of a position with a real availability to say this is our guy, this is the position, and we're going to do it.
So with Joel Sherman saying all that, 1,000% agree. Now, in the case of J.P. Crawford, I think J.P. Crawford has made himself a part of this conversation. A lot of people looked at it as if they put their flagpole down and they go and spend money, they are going after that shortstop market, which then means that J.P. Crawford is the odd man out. I don't think that that is necessarily the case. And I think that J.P. Crawford, as he continues to keep playing and hopefully he continues to stay at this pace with his average, with his on-base percentage, it continues to improve. He finds ways to get doubles. I think that you're looking at this Mariners group establishing themselves, spending money, but J.P. Crawford is still a part of the equation.
All right, it is 11:15. That means it's time for Three Questions, brought to you by Tila Mortgage. DJ.
It's time for Three Questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 11:15, three burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
That's the dumbest question you could ask. What?
That literally just made my heart skip a beat. That scared me so much, that DJ. Whoa.
DJ! What's your first question, DJ? This is a safe space.
Question one. This might be a little personal. I don't know.
Okay.
Logan Gilbert has yet to pitch more than four innings in an outing. I know he's only had three outings. But when are the Mariners going to take the training wheels off of him and actually let him pitch into the fifth inning?
DJ, that ain't going to happen until the second half of the season. I think that they are going to be very cognizant of really making sure that his pitch count is right. And the reality of it, too, is that he's just getting started. I mean, his arm is just starting to warm up, loosen up. They're trying to stretch him out as he's going through this process. He didn't have a lot of starts down there in AAA before he came up to the big league level. In fact, only one. So he's still early on in this process, and they want to make sure that they protect him as much as possible. And I think that you're not going to see him go past the fourth unless he is just absolutely dealing, sending guys down, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. I don't think you're going to see him get past the fifth inning for quite some time.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't. I think that if you remember, first of all, I think that everyone can kind of agree he was maybe brought up a bit prematurely, a bit earlier than you were thinking. Not by a lot, but certainly sooner than I was expecting. I was surprised when the news officially broke from ESPN's Jeff Passan. I think that the plan is always going to be make sure that he's part of that rotation and healthy through September to really let him get as many appearances as he can. So that's going to probably mean taking him out of games a little sooner than fans would like. So, yeah, I don't see the training wheels coming off anytime soon.
Number two.
Sounds like me when I was learning how to ride a bike at like age eight. Those training wheels didn't get taken off for a while.
You know what? Age eight is not too old to still have training wheels. Is that a bad take? Is it? Tarek's looking a little questionable back there. I forget how old I was when I learned how to. I feel like I was around there, right?
Sure. I don't know.
DJ, I'm trying to help you out.
I didn't know you when you were 8 years old.
Next question.
Question two. I'm going to try to say this one with a straight face. Michael Robinson came out with his top five quarterback list going into 2021. Here's the order from number one to five. So number one, Patrick Mahomes. Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Number two, Josh Allen. Number three, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
Number four, Dak Prescott.
My goodness.
Number five, Matthew Stafford.
Love it.
So my question, why? Why?
Jake?
Why?
I'm
because Mike
smiling.
Because Mike Robinson, Mike Robb, is one of these salty players from the earlier days for whatever reason. When you have this conversation about Russell Wilson, they have something against him. Now, the other thing that Michael Robinson wasn't there for the second Super Bowl. His last season was the Super Bowl win with the Seahawks. Michael Robinson has generally been pretty positive about Russell Wilson. This offseason, he did not like Russell Wilson's comments whatsoever. Made that very clear, made that very public, and also went on to say, like, What are you talking about? What more do you want? You have everything. You get your way all the time. You get to, you know, call the shots, and you're the reason why Jimmy Graham and Percy Harvin are here, which are factually just not true. So Mike Robb got hot and bothered by that, and he is being so unbelievably petty, DJ, so unbelievably petty that he is putting out trash lists that he knows are absolute garbage. Just because he doesn't want to say that Russell Wilson's a top five quarterback, because he's getting his personal feelings involved in the situation. This drives me absolutely insane. And also, a good reminder that Michael Robinson, any list that he puts out ever, ever, ever about quarterbacks, should just crumple it up, throw it away. Don't even bother looking at it. Absolute joke.
Look, do I think there's some saltiness with this list? Yeah, maybe a little bit of it. I could totally see that. But you know who I do think deserves to be on it? I do think Josh Allen deserves to be on it. I think that he was great for the Bills last season. I don't care if you can point to Diggs and say, well, easy, Diggs had a million targets and was their best offseason acquisition, and he was a huge part of that offense. All right. You know who didn't fall off in the second half of the season? Josh Allen in that Bills offense. I mean, Russell Wilson should be on this list. If you're doing top five quarterbacks, I'm saying
Josh Allen, top five.
That's what I'm saying. Russell Wilson deserves to be on this list, period. I wouldn't take Josh Allen off of it, though. Patrick Mahomes, obviously, and Aaron Rodgers, obviously. I wouldn't have Matthew Stafford on there.
Josh Allen does not belong on the top five list as of yet. As of yet, you cannot put him on the top five list yet. Now, maybe year two, year three from now, I think so. But when you talk about wins, you talk about consistent play, you talk about the stats, that is an entirely different conversation. There's only three other guys outside of Russell Wilson, Mahomes, Brady, and Rodgers, that can even say that they have those three other things that I just mentioned. It's those four: Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. They are definitely in the top four when it comes to this quarterback conversation. Everything else is all about projections and all about what you might want to see happen. But in terms of the list, it's pretty clear cut.
Just as a side note, I'm seeing so many lists with Stafford as like a dark horse MVP candidate because people are so in love with the Rams this season. So in love with them. DJ. Question three.
Number three.
Sorry. I'm getting nervous about the hard out already.
Oh, it's fine. We'll go quickly here.
Okay.
So Cleveland pitcher Zach Plesac broke his right thumb by ripping off his shirt in anger, according to Terry Francona. What's the weirdest sports injury you guys can remember?
Ooh, here's a good one. One of my good buddies, Ross Oppo, who was a top recruit coming to BYU with me out of Texas, 6'4", 215 pounds, could, you know, run a 4.4, he could absolutely fly, had arms that went past his knees. I mean, just a freak prospect. His our freshman year together, he gets into training camp, and this was a pass, not from me, but from another quarterback. He goes to try to catch it. It hits his finger, and he dislocates his finger. His bone ruptures through his finger.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Had to get surgery on it, but it was one of the grossest things I had ever seen in person. Yeah. Just his bone just straight out from his finger. Oh, that was disgusting. And it was just nothing other than trying to catch a pass. I mean, it was one of the most bizarre injuries I'd ever seen.
I don't like that, Jake. I don't like it. I was going to say a Plaxico Burress shooting himself on accident.
Another one that I think takes the cake. I mean, Mitch Haniger.
Okay. Well, speaking of Mitch Haniger and the Mariners are going to look to sweep the series against Oakland. Coming your way, pregame show in just a few minutes. Do not go anywhere. This has been Jake and Stacey on 710 ESPN Seattle.